privilege for the first time to welcome this summer to our tent here in the South of Shasta of the campus. And our chapter came down to hear his son. When I was in fifth grade, I had the very special privilege of spending a Shabbos at our chapter's home. And to be honest, I didn't fully appreciate whose home I was in at the time, but I knew that our chapter was a big rub, was someone who I should be a little bit more timid around, a little scared. But I didn't know at the time that my good friend, Shai, was going to become who Rav Shai Shefter is. I definitely didn't anticipate that at the time. But I really had the privilege to grow up, not only, again, in the home of a tzaddik or Rav Shefter, but being friends of someone like Rav Shai Shefter. And the Mishnah Berurah Avos talks about Rav Shimon, the son of Gamliel, who says, Kol yomai gadalti ben hachachamim, that he grew up amongst the chachamim. And if I would highlight an interesting nida of Rav Shai Shefter, we're going to hear from in a minute. He is someone who really grew up amongst chachamim, not just his father, Rav Shefter, but he has an extremely close relationship with the Rosh Yeshiva Weiss, one that he has cultivated over many years. And the Mishnah says, the Mishnah says that Rav Shimon learned that the best thing to do is to be quiet. And I think part of those go together, which is that if you grow up amongst the Chachamim, and you stay around them, and you're quiet, and you humble yourself before them, so you're able to inculcate all the midos, and all the, not just the Torah, the Talmud Torah, the actual information that they're giving over, but the Shimush Tamid HaChachamim, and the ability to learn from them and to bring that into the way that you teach Torah, is definitely something that I've watched as a friend, something that Rav Shai Shefter has certainly brought forth in his own growth, and to Baruch Hashem becoming a Talmid Chacham of his own right, and being a leader within our community. But someone who really brings forth the Torah of the Gedolim, again, a little older, the generation before, and is able to give that in such a clear way, in such a personal way, in a way that really makes the Torah sweet. So I don't want to take any more of his time. It is our privilege as a whole, and my personal privilege, to introduce us to Rav Shai Shefter.
Good afternoon, everybody. Bishus, my parents who are here. I also haven't seen them this summer, so this is not just a privilege for you, it's a privilege for me to see my own parents also. I have to come to Israel to see my own parents. And it's very, very special to be here. The last time I was here in the Kollel, this entire section of the Kollel was non-existent. So this is a very new experience for me, and it's beautiful to see so many old friends, and so many rabbeim, and so many wonderful people learning Torah here, and studying together and uplifting each other through all that's going on here this summer. So Rabbi Israeli asked me to just give a halacha shiur because he said that everybody here is learning, and very often the chaburas are on in Yanei Halacha. But I wasn't quite sure what to talk about because everybody learns different things, obviously. So something that I think is a common denominator, a common thread for all of us, is when we talk about tefillah. And tefillah is very important. Tefillah is something that we do multiple times a day. Tefillah is something that we need to all focus on in our own way and see where we're up to. In fact, the Gemara says that there's a discussion, tefillah, avos tikkun. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that perhaps the whole idea of tefillah was something that was already instituted by the greatest of our people, by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are the ones who engaged us in this idea of davening every day. And we have that great privilege to communicate and to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day, multiple times a day, and it's an opportunity for us to just take advantage of that and understand how blessed we are to connect in that very special way. The Gemara tells us that there are a number of aspects of our lives that are tzrichim chizum, which means there are a number of aspects of our lives where we always have to remind ourselves of their importance, and we always need to emphasize how important they are. And one of them in that list that the Gemara gives is the aspect in the area of tefillah. Because it's something that we do so often, and because it's something that we're so familiar with, perhaps we have less of an appreciation for it as we encounter it every single day. Which is often a theme that we find. It's interesting. One of the Mefarshim writes on Pirkei Avos that commenting on a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel, that when a person came to visit the Beis HaMikdash, so they would walk in from one direction, and there was an insistence that they would walk out on their way out from a different direction. Why do we have such an insistence? It's so strange. One of the Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos writes, perhaps the reason why is because we don't want people to get too used to the experience. And if on their way in, they would see this magnificent structure, this edifice of a Beis HaMikdash, and they would be so excited about it, they would be enthralled by that experience, then perhaps they would lose that sensational feeling if they were to walk out the same way. We want to always keep the experience fresh. We want to keep it new so that we can inspire ourselves, that we can be inspired by whatever it is that we're encountering, by what we're doing. And tefillah is no different in that regard. And this is one of the things the Gemara says in Brachos, that tefillah is something that's berumo shel olam. It is a sublime experience. It's something that is so, I guess, transcendental. It's so different. It's so unique. But yet, b'nei adam mezazalim bo. The Gemara says, regrettably, very often we find that people treat it very casually, and they don't really think about tefillah in the way that perhaps they are supposed to. I think one of the great challenges that many people face when they talk about tefillah is, at times, we have a situation in front of us, and we feel we need to offer a tefillah on behalf of whatever it is, the critical situation that's here. And we don't see the result that we're looking for. Sometimes we'll daven for a chola, the chola doesn't get better. Sometimes a person is davening for a shidduch, someone is davening for a parnassah, somebody's davening for something personal, and they just don't get the outcome that they're looking for. And that can be a very troubling experience, and sometimes it impacts the tefillah going forward. What do we do with that? So there's a very interesting idea from the Dubna Magid, where he writes in his Sefer on Chumash, Avraham Avinu was told, he was informed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy a part of the world. He was about to destroy Sodom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and he informs Avraham Avinu of what's about to happen. But the way we're introduced to this whole idea is he's told, HaMechasa Ani Me'Avraham Asher Ani Oseh. Am I going to hide from Avraham Avinu what I'm about to do, the destruction that's about to occur? And the end of the pasuk says, Avraham Avinu is going to be the father of a great nation. So the Dibna Magid wonders, why is it relevant that Avraham Avinu is going to be the father of a great nation? You are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're God. You can do whatever you want. You don't need Avraham Avinu's permission. So why would it be so sacrilegious for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to just do whatever he wanted and not inform Avraham Avinu? And of what relevance is it? Hayo Yihyeh L'Goy Gadol. So he explains so beautifully. He gives a mashal, as he often does, to explain many beautiful psukim. So the Dibna Magid explains, in this context, he says there were two business partners who went, one time they were traveling to another town, and they had to go for whatever it was that they had to take care of. But one of them, they were both very excited that it was a much larger town than the place where their village, where they lived. And there were stores there, and there were opportunities for them. So they walk into the store, and they see that there are so many shelves and racks of clothing. And one of them just starts picking a bunch of things off the shelf, goes to the cash register, and buys everything. And his friend turns to him and he says, I don't understand. Why are you buying so many different items of clothing? Did you measure all your children before? Do you know that it's actually going to fit? We're not going to be able to return anything. We're not going to be here tomorrow. We're not going to be here next week. So how are you spending all this money? What's the point? He says, well, the truth is I have so many children in my family. If it doesn't fit this one, it's going to fit that one. And if it doesn't fit in this year, it's going to fit next year. So I can just fill up my closet. It's not a problem. It won't go to waste. You, who only has one child at home, have to be much more careful. Because if you buy the wrong size clothing, it's going to be a waste. Nobody's going to use it in your home. And that would be something that you shouldn't do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, I'm about to destroy Sodom. Why does he have to tell Avraham Avinu? Because he knew that Avraham Avinu would be mispalel. He knew Avraham Avinu would offer a tefillah, would beg mercy on behalf of the city that it shouldn't be destroyed. And if, in the end, the city would be destroyed anyway, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew in advance was going to happen, the answer is, Hayo Yiyeh L'Goy Gadol. Avraham Avinu is going to have many children later on in history who are going to need those tefillos. And writes the Dibna Magid, no tefillah is ever forgotten. If it's not there for whatever issue it is that's being faced now, that you're davening for, understand, Avraham Hayo Yiyeh L'Goy Gadol, he has many children. those children are going to need a tefillah, and we should think about that for ourselves when we have the opportunity to daven as well, and particularly when we're davening for something specific, and we may not see the result that we're looking for. Just remember, Avram Hayo Yiyel Gai Gadol, and the same is with all of us, that our tefillah will be saved and will never be forgotten by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So let's talk a little bit halacha, and that is, when we talk about tefillah, it's important to remember that each of the tefillahs every day has to be in a particular zman. There's a time when we have to begin the tefillah, there's a time when we have to end the tefillah. And we cannot just haphazardly decide when we are going to daven. So the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tefillah writes the following, Siman Kuf Yud, what if a person is in a shas halacha? Kigom shehu baderech, someone is in an emergency situation. For example, he's on the road and he's concerned that while he's traveling, he's not going to really be able to pay attention to the tefillah properly. So the Shulchan Aruch says in such a case, he should shorten the tefillah and he should daven tefillahs habinim, which is something that probably most of us have never encountered. But the Shulchan Aruch does describe a way of being able to shorten each one of the brachos of Shmona Esrei. You boil it down into one paragraph, and that would be sufficient to take care of that tefillah if a person feels they're not going to have time. Magen Avraham says there, one of the great commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, he writes, not only if a person is in a situation where they think they're not going to be able to pay attention, and therefore we have to boil it down to one paragraph, which is all they can do, but also, says the Magen Avraham, if somebody sees that they're already at the end of Zman Tefillah, and they're not going to have enough time to daven the entire Shmona Esrei, in such a case, writes the Magen Avraham, you should just say the shortened Shmona Esrei. You should say the Tefillahs Havineinu and get the whole thing in before the Zman Tefillah is over. And from here, the Avraham say, you see that the Magen Avraham is teaching us an important lesson, and that is, when we talk about a Zman Tefillah, when we talk about a start time, and more importantly, an end time to a Tefillah, that end time means you have to finish the entire Shmona Esrei before the Sof Zman Tefillah. It's not good enough, it's not sufficient just to start the Shmona Esrei then. You have to actually complete the entire Shmona Esrei before the end of the Zman Tefillah. Now this is something that the Magen Avraham repeats in a number of different places. In Siman Pei Tes, the Magen Avraham writes it. In Siman Kuf Yud, the Magen Avraham has it. Siman Kuf Chav Dalet again. Throughout Hilchos Tefillah, this is repeated over and over again. And the Mishnah Berurah says this doesn't only apply to Shmona Esrei; it applies to Kriya Shema as well. We have a time when we have to end the Zman Kriya Shema, and that means you can't just quickly say the beginning of Kriya Shema by that time. You have to make sure, says the Mishnah Berurah, that you finish the entirety of the Kriya Shema before the end time comes. The Magen Avraham then extends this a little bit further. We had the opportunity to recite Kiddush Levana. In America, we said Kiddush Levana this past Motzei Shabbos. And I don't know what you did here on the Kollel. I assume it wasn't cloudy here. So usually we say Kiddush Levana on a Matzah Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says the reason why is because we want to be dressed in nice clothing to honor the Kiddush Levana. So we may as well do it on Matzah Shabbos when we're dressed nicely anyway. But there's a qualification that's necessary in order to say Kiddush Levana, and that is you have to be able to see the Levana. Not just in theory that you know the Levana is there, you have to actually be able to see it. And says the Shulchan Aruch, if it's cloudy outside and I'm unable to see the Levana, I would not be able to recite the Kiddush Levana. Now, what happens if it's cloudy outside, but I catch a quick glimpse of this moon, and I know that I'll be able to say Kiddush Levana now, while the moon is separated from the clouds? Writes the Magen Avraham, you have to be sure, you have to be certain, that when you say Kiddush Levana on a cloudy night, and you're assuming that you're going to be able to see the Levana, you have to be able to see the Levana for the entire duration of the bracha of Kiddush Levana, not just for the beginning. It has to be for the whole time that you're saying the bracha of Kiddush Levana, you have to be able to see the Levana, and that again is based on the same halacha. That you have to have the start time, the end time has to be the entire davening, the qualifications that are necessary to do a tefillah have to be there throughout the entire duration of a tefillah as well. And there's an interesting similar idea, not exactly the same, but a similar concept. For example, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, writes an interesting halacha, and that is, what happens, sure it never happened to anyone in this room, but I do know people that every so often will daven mincha at 1 o'clock, then they'll come back to shul later at 7 o'clock and I completely forgot that they daven mincha earlier, and they catch themselves in the middle of a Shmona Esrei, totally confused, where they finally remember, oh, I daven mincha at 1 o'clock, why am I davening again now? So when that happens, writes the Baal HaTanya, what am I supposed to do? Here I am, I daven mincha at 1 o'clock, now I'm davening again at 7, halfway through the Shmona Esrei, I realize I really don't have to be doing this. I davened earlier today, so why am I davening now? What am I supposed to do now in the middle of Shemona Esrei? What do you think? What's supposed to be done? What? Finish the Shemona Esrei. Why? Because you're in the middle. What are you going to do? Right? That's what you think. You're going to say Hashem's name in vain. So what do you say? So you're going to say Hashem's name in vain either way. If I continue on the Shemona Esrei, then I'm going to say the second half in vain. If I just stop where I am, then it means the whole first half was in vain. So what should I do? That's the dilemma of the Baal HaTanya. And that's an interesting idea. So your idea is, if we said before that no tefillah ever goes in vain, no tefillah ever is ignored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you'll say, finish off the Shemona Esrei. That's a very creative idea. Finish off the Shemona Esrei, and it will go somewhere. But the Baal HaTanya introduces us to something else, and that is, he says, how is it possible that I can daven half a Shemona Esrei, which is a tefillas chova, which I thought I had an obligation to daven, and the second half I'm just going to suddenly flip a switch and make the tefillah into tefillas nedava? That doesn't make sense. We know that there's a concept that you're able to offer a tefillas nedava. I can voluntarily daven to our Kodesh Baruch Hu beyond the three times a day that I'm supposed to daven. There is such a concept. But the Baal HaTanya says you can't just switch in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. You have to decide before the Shemona Esrei begins, is this something I'm obligated to do? Or is this something that I'm just volunteering to do? But again, the theme of what he's saying is that you have to have a consistency throughout the tefillah that you're doing. It has to be within this Zman Tefillah. It has to be all the qualifications there at the whole time. And here again he says, we have to make sure that we have the tefillas chova or the tefillas nedava determined for the entire duration of this one answer. Now, if that is all true so far, the halacha seems to be pretty consistent and pretty clear. But now we're going to throw in something which seems to be against everything that we presented until now, and that is, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Shabbos, what happens if somebody comes to shul and they are delayed? So you come to shul and they already have davened Kabbalah Shabbos. What are you supposed to do? You still need to daven mincha. They have already been to Kabbal Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses what is one supposed to do then. What do we think? Yeah? Oh wow, we have somebody who really goes to Shulchan Aruch on the Shabbos. What does everybody else think? His suggestion was you should go outside and daven. Why would you go outside and daven? So you don't disturb other people. So why am I disturbing other people? I'll go to the back of the room. Not going to be in anyone's way. I won't disturb them. Okay, what do we think? Shulchan Aruch discusses the case, and the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. In Bala Beis HaKnesses, some of... So first of all, if I missed, and they already were Mekabel Shabbos, I missed everything. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm not allowed to daven Mincha Shemona Esrei anymore, because we don't daven weekday Shemona Esrei on Shabbos. But now, change the case just slightly. Right, so Shulchan Aruch, let's say I came late to shul, and they haven't yet been Mekabel Shabbos, but I know I'm not going to be able to finish my Mincha Shemona Esrei by the time they get up to there. So halfway through my Shemona Esrei, I'm going to hear them saying Kabbalah Shabbos. So what am I to do in that case? What do you say? Yeah? Daven a shortened version, meaning what we were talking about before. Why? Meaning, based on everything we said, you should have to finish the entire Shemona Esrei before the Mekabel Shabbos, right? So what should the halacha be here? What? The halacha here should be the same. I should daven a short Shemona Esrei, but that is not what the Shulchan Aruch says, which goes against everything we just mentioned. Shulchan Aruch writes, in such a case, Mastil in Ispala Mincha. I begin davening Mincha now, even though I know from the outset that I'm not going to finish in time. So how can that be? How can that be? Why do I begin the Shemona Esrei if I know that half of my Shemona Esrei is going to spill over into Shabbos? On Shabbos, we never daven a weekday Shemona Esrei. So how is that acceptable? How do you differentiate between all the cases we said? Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv. The Achronim say you always have to finish it within the Zman. Kriya Shema Mishavura says you have to finish within the Zman. And suddenly over here, Mincha on Friday afternoon, even if I know that the Tzibur is going to be Mekabel Shabbos halfway through my Shemona Esrei, I'm allowed to begin. So, let's think about that. You want an answer? Yeah. you can consider it a tefillas nedava. And what happens then? A tefillas nedava, you don't have a right to just daven a tefillas nedava at the wrong time. So right now, if I'm davening a weekday Shemona Esrei when it's already Shabbos, that's not the appropriate thing to offer. So how do you differentiate between all the cases that we said and this case of Shabbos, receiving it's different? And the answer is that Mishnah Berurah explains based on the Gemara Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara asks, let's go back to the foundation of the question. Why is it that on Shabbos we don't daven a regular weekday Shemona Esrei? Why is that? What's wrong? Yeah? I'm sorry? Tirfa de Tzibura. It's an interesting way to say it. It's not exactly the lashon that the Gemara uses, but it's the same concept. The Gemara says that on Shabbos, the Chachamim wanted us to enjoy. And if we're going to have to daven a long Shemona Esrei, it's going to be a tirfa. It's going to be a longer davening. Now, it happens to be on Shabbos, we have a pretty long davening anyway. But if we have to say the Shemona Esrei also, that would be something that would be a tirfa on the people. And therefore, says the Gemara, on Shabbos we have an abbreviated version of the Shemona Esrei. Therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah, this case is different than all the other cases, because there's no real prohibition to daven the regular Shemona Esrei on Shabbos. Is not an iser. There's nothing wrong. To daven mincha after this man is not permissible. To daven shachris after this man is not permissible. To say kriya shema after this man is not allowed. But to daven a Shemona Esrei of the weekday on Shabbos is something that is not a prohibition. And therefore, if a person realizes they can say the first half of the Shemona Esrei, even though they know that it's going to spill over after the tzibur has become the Shabbos, that would not be something that we would have any objection to. That would be okay. The problem with all this is, actually, there's a Magen Avraham. I'm not going to give the answer, but the Magen Avraham does have a different case. Later on in Shulchan Aruch, Tavkuf Tzadi Gimel, the Magen Avraham there says, what happens if a person finds himself in a situation where he doesn't have a sitter, and he doesn't remember the entire Shemona Esrei by heart? So what am I to do? I only have another 20 minutes of the Shkia. I'm going to go drive somewhere to get myself a sitter. I'm going to miss the opportunity to daven. So what should I do? If I don't have a sitter and I don't know Shemona Esrei by heart, what do I do? Well, Magen Avraham says in such a case, daven whatever you know. Start the Shemona Esrei and get as far as you can. And then you stop wherever you stop. Now how can that be? How can Magen Avraham say such a thing? Don't we have a rule that if you can't do the whole thing, you shouldn't do it at all? So why does the Magen Avraham there say that if a person doesn't have a sitter and doesn't know all the words, they should just say whatever they're familiar with and then stop? Doesn't that mean you're going to leave the second half of the Shemona Esrei hanging? Maybe that means you shouldn't start at all. Something for all of you to think about. Be it as it may, this is the opinion of the Magen Avraham and most of the major Achron and most of the major Poskim. The Mishnah Berurah passes this way as well. However, you'll be surprised to hear that there are, I've given a very sharp time that I have to finish, so I'm going to take the question after, I'm not running out. So, there are a group of Achronim who present a very different side to this story. Some Achronim say, no, as long as you begin within this month, it is good enough, and you don't have to complete it within this month. Where can that possibly come from? It actually comes from a source, a very unlikely source, in this week's parasha. This week's parasha we read about the story of Bilam and Balak. Very unusual story, very strange story. And there, the Gemara comments in Maseches Brachos that what was the power of Bilam? What was Bilam able to do that nobody else was able to do? The Gemara says, Yodei Adas Elyon. He had some very keen insight into the inner workings of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And it's as a result of that that he knew how to effectively curse people, and that is why he was hired. So the Gemara asks, what exactly did he know? What was the secret that only Bilam knew that nobody else was aware of? The Gemara says he knew Kel Zoe Mefol Yom. He knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every day. Ask the Gemara, how long does the Ribbono Shel Olam angry every day? 1 second. A millisecond. So Tosfos there on the Gemara asked the question, if God only gets angry for a millisecond every day, what could Bilam possibly have said in 1 second? It's not enough time to say a curse. So how did he think he was actually going to effectively curse anybody? So Tosfos answers two answers. Answer number one is, he was going to say one quick word, kalev, which means destroy them. That doesn't take more than a half a second to say, and that is what he was going to do. And Tosa's second answer is that as long as he began within the time that God gets angry, he was going to carry on and say a whole long curse, even way beyond the time that God gets angry, but as long as he started within the right zman, he was going to get what he wanted. So some Achronim extrapolate from that. You see that even if I started tefillah within the zman, but it's going to spill over after the zman, it shouldn't be a problem. Now that's a very unlikely source. We don't usually mix halacha and agada. We don't usually take a source from a story in Chumash like that and learn halacha to Hilchos Tefillah from that kind of source. It's a very interesting kind of source. It is quoted by some of the Achronim, the Aruch HaShulchan has it, and a few others. But it's something, I believe my father writes in one of his Sfarim, that Rav Soloveitchik objected to because he felt it's a strange place to read, to learn such a source from. And the truth is, it's not relevant. Because all the major poskim say that that is not the halacha either way. We don't poskim that way, but it's something interesting to think about as you go through the parsha this week. Let me just close. I see we have just 2 or 3 minutes left. The Chafetz Chaim has a very beautiful mashal in one of his Sfarim when he talks about Zman Tefillah. He says he once went to a community and he was looking for a minyan for mincha. He goes into a local shtigl, it was a Hasidish shtigl, and he asked them that he would like to join, participate for a minyan. And they told him, no, we're not davening now. We still have some time to daven. And he said, what do you mean? But I'm looking at my watch. I see it's almost the Shkia. So they told him, no, we're in the middle of making hachanas. We're making sure that our mindset is proper. We're making sure that we're prepared for the davening the way we're supposed to be. And we'll daven whenever we're ready to daven. But at least we'll have a perfect, pure davening the way it's supposed to be. And the Chafetz Chaim turned to them and he told them the following mashal. He said, there was a man who only had one child. And that one child was a girl. And he was so excited when his daughter was born. And he was already preparing for his daughter's wedding 20 years down the line. It used to be in Europe, when a girl got married, her father had to put up a dowry, her father had to put up money, in order that the couple should be able to live. Otherwise, she would never get married. Now, he was a simple man, and he knew that he had a very simple profession. But he decided that every day he was going to set aside, every week he would set aside money, a few pennies every week, a few dollars, so that one day when his daughter comes to a time to get married, he'll be able to have something to give her for the dowry. And he's saving this in a special box. And every week he's putting away for years and years. And he's making sure that every dollar that's in there is crisp and it's perfect. And nobody should ever touch it. And it should be in mint condition. So that when his daughter gets married, she'll have the most beautiful gift that a father can ever give his daughter for her wedding. So it comes the time, his daughter's ready to get married. And he says to her, you don't have to worry. I've been worrying about you for 20 years. I put aside money for you. Let's go. We're going to trade in the money for everything you need. We're going to take care of you. We're going to set up your house. He goes into the first store with his box of money, puts down a whole bunch of things on the counter. They look at his box. They just start laughing at him. He doesn't know what's going on. He leaves all the items there. He leaves the store. Goes to another store. The same thing happens. Everywhere he went, they're all laughing at him. But no one's willing to explain why they're all making fun of him. They didn't know what was wrong. Finally, he says, you know, these people are small-minded people. They've never seen so much money in their lives. They don't know what to do with it. Let me go to the bank. And in the bank, they'll understand what this is. The bank deals with lots of money. Takes his box to the bank, and he's behind a long line of people talking to the tellers. And he's noticing how each person walks up to the teller, and they're giving money, and they're taking money. And he sees that they're ripped-up dollar bills and crumpled dollar bills and not in good condition. He says, if the bank is willing to deal with these kinds of people and their kind of money, the bank is certainly going to take my money that's never been touched. And he turns, finally it gets to his turn, he turns to the teller and he says, you know, I have a whole box of money here. He gives it to the teller, the teller starts laughing and says, you can't accept this. He says, what do you mean? I saw all the people before me in line. We're giving ripped dollar bills that were not in good condition at all. Look how carefully I've taken care of this money. And the teller says, it's wonderful, it's really nice. But this has been out of circulation for 20 years. This money is no longer used in this country. We've changed the currency many times over since you started collecting this. And that is why we can't use it. Chafetz Chaim said, a person can have all the hachana in the world, a person can try to perfect their mindset and be ready for the tefillah and be in the right place and do everything exactly as they're supposed to. If you miss the Zman Tefillah, says the Chafetz Chaim, the currency is no longer in circulation. So it doesn't help that you're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with everything that's beautiful and a box that's ready to go, and you want to set everything up perfectly, and you want to present HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the greatest gift in the world. But the Ribbono Shel Olam turns back to you and he says, but this is out of circulation. This is no longer relevant. This is no longer this Zman Shacharis, Mincha, or Maariv. And therefore, said the Chafetz Chaim, it's important, obviously, to do Hachana. It's important that we get ourselves in the right frame of mind. It's critical for all of us to appreciate and understand what Tefillah really is all about and how impactful it can be for all of us, but at the same time, says the Chafetz Chaim, don't ever forget that the most important thing about tefillah is make sure you offer it while the tefillah is still in circulation. Wish all of you a wonderful day.
to your parents. I'm going to ask you all to now sit in the basement by Chabura. We're going to get together by Chabura. So if you have a plan, if you can grab your Chaburas and sit by Chabura.